Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Howdy, howdy, and welcome into the Friday episode of The Nate Darling Show, episode number 604. It is July. I would be remiss if I did not point out that we are entering year 8 of the podcast.
Oh, wow.
Starting July of 2011.
You're getting old, man.
We're all getting old. The other option is being dead. Coming up on the show today, we have a little feature I call Local Mayor Roundup.
That doesn't sound good.
Well, we'll see. Something I call Let Me Catch a Plane.
Okay.
And as teased last time, we're going to find a little bit about your personality from a breakfast food quiz. It's going to reveal exactly who you really are. All right. Before we get into all of that, Saturday night, there was a big show in San Francisco at the legendary Cow Palace. By the way, legendary is a word that means poorly ventilated and smells like farts. No? Okay. It was fine. If you've ever been to the Cow Palace, you know what I'm talking about. It's old. It was built as the livestock exhibition place. And I can totally see that. The seats are old. They're the type of seat that have the big metal thing down on beside your leg.
Yeah.
They're not terribly uncomfortable. And there's not a bad seat in the house, which is great. But not a lot of big events go there anymore. So when New Japan Pro Wrestling announced that they were going to have their third U.S. show and the first one outside of Long Beach Convention, I think it's the convention center down there.
Yeah.
I knew I had to go because New Japan Pro Wrestling is, quite a spectacle to see. And, they pride themselves on what's called strong style, which it means it looks even more like real fights.
Ooh.
Than say WWE. WWE is, much more of a choreograph. I mean, yes, it's choreographed violence, but it's not the same level.
WWE's for pussies.
So, and I will say this. I've been to quite a few live wrestling events. The only one close to this was, No Mercy 2000 in Albany, New York, which, that one featured, and I'm talking wrestling for a second, so relax. It featured Stone Cold coming back. Stone Cold Steve Austin had an angle where someone hit him with a car. He actually had an injury, had to be out for a while. So the deal was someone ran him down with a car. That was his first match back. They found out it was Rikishi who ran him down with a car. So
I remember that match.
Exactly. I was there for that. There was a steel cage match between Chris Jericho and Sean Waltman or X-Pac, and the most memorable part of that was when one of them got knocked off the top of the cage, the door of the cage was open, and he landed doing a nut shot on the open door.
I remember that.
It was an amazing pay-per-view. So, that is the only thing I've been to live, and I went to a few of the Attitude Era Monday Night Raws, which were all very cool. This was a whole other level. This was pay-per-view level stuff, because even though it was available on free TV, if you have Access TV in the States, it was available there.
Okay.
They carried it live. And it was, when we looked at how long it was blocked out for 4.5 hours.
Holy shit, Batman.
And it was 4.5 hours. It started, there was a 15-minute intermission, and it started at 5, and it ended at 9:30.
Oh, wow.
5 to 9:30, and
I'm tired just hearing it.
There was not a single bad match the entire night.
Okay.
Not a single bad match. And without getting too much into the weeds and the details, here's what we had. We had a bunch of championship matches. We had a local guy, Jeff Cobb, who lives here in Sacramento, who was fighting for one of their titles. He ended up losing. Basically, right now, New Japan Pro Wrestling, the heavyweight champion is a white guy from Winnipeg. The tag team champions are two white guys from California. They are not going to take the other titles off of Japanese wrestlers.
Okay.
So we knew that wasn't going to happen. And the championship match was Kenny Omega versus Cody Rhodes.
Cody, is that Dusty's son?
It is.
Okay.
It is. And that match was crazy. That match was absolutely crazy. And there was one point where they were on a ladder in the middle of the ring. And this was not in like a tables, ladders, and chairs match, even though we saw all of them.
Uh-huh.
It looked like Kenny Omega was going to superplex Cody Rhodes off the ladder onto a table outside of the ring. And the crowd, my buddy was recording video, and I didn't hear a lot of this because I was so into it. The crowd was chanting, "Please don't die, please don't die." And I'm just sitting there going, "Oh my God, they're not going to do this. They are not going to do this." They ended up reversing it. Cody superplexed him off of like a 16-foot ladder into the ring. And you go, "Oh, well, that's not bad. He's off of the top of a ladder."
You do not remember the Night of the Skywalkers with the Midnight Express and the Road Warriors.
Oh, no, I never saw that. I never saw that. But so this is just middle of the ring stuff, part of a whole thing. Anywho, it was the best experience just for a show. Now, the merch table sucked. They only had a few items. I bought one thing, but I bought it as we were leaving.
Okay.
Because I tried to go out in the middle of one match where I was like not super interested in it. I stood in line for 5 minutes. The line did not move.
Ooh.
Not even one person. I was like, fuck this. I'm out of line. I'm like, but I'm thirsty. I'm going to go to the concession stand. There's only three people in line. Stood in line for a full minute. They couldn't get this one guy a churro and a soda. And I'm like, oh, hell no. And I moved and I saw there was a lemonade stand. Nobody there. And I'm like, done. I'm having lemonade. And I go up and there's this African American woman and I go, thank God, everything here is a mess. She goes, you're telling me, I just got here and this guy's telling me how to run a lemonade stand and look how he's handling his cash. And she's showing me the wad of cash that he just handed to her.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, you clearly don't understand how American girls do things, do you? what an amazing show they put on. It was just crazy. And they announced that they're going to be having, some more, shows, one more in Long Beach in September, and then two nights in Anaheim in November.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, at the Anaheim Convention Center. So I'm not sure what their matches are going to be. The one downside to the night is in the, Junior Heavyweight Championship, Hiromu Takahashi might have broken his neck. We're unclear right now, as we're recording this, what the neck injury was. He did injure his neck. It was sort of a botched spot, something called a Phoenix. I forget the exact term, but it's not anything you'll see in WWE.
Yeah.
And he flipped him over, sort of like a suplex, but not really. And Dragon Lee, who's amazing. These two guys tore the house down. Does this move, and Hiromu landed basically on his head, and his head didn't move. It basically stopped. And then his body flipped over. And in the crowd, we're like, oh, God, that didn't look good.
Yeah.
Then I saw the replay from the other side, and I'm like, oh, God. And he was down for probably 2 minutes. But he told the ref he was okay, and he finished the match.
That's crazy.
It's absolutely insane. So he was running on adrenaline. Immediately after the match, they brought him to the hospital. He's stable. He is able to sit up and talk, was the statement from New Japan Pro Wrestling. Not walk, but talk.
Yeah.
But who knows if they're not letting him walk for whatever reason.
And it's funny because I have a Bleacher Report.
Right.
And that flashed across the screen on Bleacher Report. And I was like, I wonder who that is. Matter of fact, I saw it and I was like, well, I have to ask Nate about that guy.
Yeah. He is the, New Japan Junior Heavyweight Champion and he just won the best of the Super Juniors tournament. So right now, and that's basically anybody under 200 pounds is the juniors. That's how they categorize it. So right now, this guy, Hiromu, was getting about as big a push as you can get. He's a young guy, really, I mean, really charismatic, very good. So fingers crossed. And again, a broken neck can mean a lot of things.
Yeah.
It can mean a chipped vertebrae. It can mean, paralysis. And we're hoping, obviously, that it's on the other end. Kurt Angle won a gold medal, as he likes to say, with a broken freaking neck.
Yeah.
So in the Olympics in Atlanta, he wrestled with a broken neck. So it's a broken neck and a broken leg. You can have a hairline fracture of your leg. You got a broken leg.
Yeah.
Or the bones can be snapped, dislocated, and poking out of the skin.
That is a compound fracture.
Correct. We are hoping, obviously, that it's lesser. So fingers crossed, and just thinking about him, because to think that someone would just go out to entertain a crowd of people and end up with a broken neck is, it's really a bit unsettling.
And to finish a match just to take care of, make sure the people are satisfied.
I mean, I had no idea that it was that serious when he left.
Yeah.
So here's hoping that everything works out for the best. But yeah, New Japan Pro Wrestling, I subscribe to their channel so that I can,
I might have to start watching that.
It's available for stream. Well, you can watch it on, if you have Access TV.
Yeah.
They don't have the stuff live, but it'll be like a few weeks later.
Yeah. I've seen the scrolling through the guide. I've seen it.
Yeah. So check it out there. Absolutely check out the G1 special in San Francisco if they rerun it, and I'm sure they will. That was one where it was weird because it was on Access TV live. And New Japan World, which is the subscription service around the world that I get, which is 999 yen a month.
Oh, wow.
It's somewhere between $8.50 and $10. Just depending on what the exchange
is. Mr. Moneybags over here.
Well, yeah, sure. Look, I don't go to Starbucks, so I can afford that. So it was live on Access TV, and it was only available on the New Japan World after the event was over.
Okay.
So that was a little bit of a different thing. And if you're an old school WWE fan, on Access TV, it's Jim Ross who does the play-by-play.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And a lot of times he will voice them afterwards, like in a conference, and he'll go watch it on a monitor and call it that way. This one, he was live.
Yeah.
And I've caught a little bit of it because we went back and caught what we missed at the end, because when Kenny Omega said goodnight, spoiler alert, Kenny Omega won and retained. We're like, okay, we're done. And we go out and like a lot of people, we're going out. We're going to go to the restroom. We're going to do whatever. And all of a sudden we hear this commotion in the arena. So we rush back up the little rampway so we can see what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it was old school wrestling at its best. We're like, what the fuck is going on? And we go in and the OG Bullet Club, the Gorillas of Destiny.
Okay.
And their dad, King Haku.
Really?
Correct. King Haku wrestled in the opening match. King Haku and the Gorillas of Destiny attacked Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks.
Oh, wow.
On the stage, brought them down to the ring for a beatdown, then systematically beat the fuck out of everybody else in Bullet Club who came out. That's the faction, the group.
Okay.
They're like, you did this, Kenny. You did this. And they're just kicking the shit out of him. And finally, they call Cody out of the back, because the whole thing with Bullet Club is there's been this struggle for power and control between Cody and Kenny.
Right.
And they call him out, and they give Cody a chair, and they're like, hit him! Hit him! And Cody's like, yeah, I'm going to hit him. And then he hits the Gorillas of Destiny. But there's three of them, and he hits the one, goes to hit the second one, and King Haku takes the chair away from him, because he was just holding over his head like he's going to hit him.
Yeah.
And then they beat up Cody. And then King Haku wraps it by giving Kenny Omega an old school pile driver onto a steel chair.
Yes.
In the most gentle way possible.
What?
But, I mean, Kenny Omega turned, so he took the bump on his shoulder off Haku's thigh.
Yeah.
And Haku closed his legs when he was going down to do the sit down power bomb on the chair.
Oh, man.
It looked amazing in real time, but I'm like, okay, yeah, I see what he's doing.
Yeah.
Now, the best part and the part that you will very much like. So, King Haku and his sons are from Tonga,
yes.
The Isle of Tonga. As we're watching this, there is a gentleman who is in the stands up above where we've come back in to stand. And he's an African-American fella, and he's yelling, "Yeah, people of color, take it back! Beat down Whitey! Yeah, we're taking it back, people of color!" Which was amazing. Now, the racial breakdown in the room, not a lot of black guys there. Just for the record.
Yeah, no.
There were a fair number of Asians, a fair number of Hispanics, and a lot of whitey.
Yeah.
A lot of whitey there. So, but that amused me greatly.
Yeah, it's funny because I don't know if we watch wrestling like we used to. Black people like watch wrestling all the time.
Yeah, who knows? My grandmother, who was French Canadian, watched wrestling from Montreal, French language wrestling from Montreal. And my mom was always like, that must be where you get it from, because she loved it. Nobody else understood why.
Yeah. Like, we grew up watching it, like, all of me and my cousins. Like, we watched it every weekend, every Saturday night. And then, my godsons used to watch it, the WWE. So, like, every time a pay-per-view would come to town, their mom would buy us tickets.
Right.
And then I would have to take them because he didn't want to go.
Remind me after the show, there is a movie that at this point would have been last night.
Yeah.
It's a one-night-only thing from Fathom Events. I'll tell you after the show, but don't let me forget.
Yeah.
All right. So, New Japan Pro Wrestling, I cannot speak loudly enough about how great it is. If you like wrestling, check it out. There's clips on YouTube. There's New Japan World. There's Access TV. There's plenty of ways to get it now. Anyway, at the end of last show, I brought up a guy who was targeting Mexican-themed restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, what? How is that possible? Well, we'll explain. KRQE, Channel 13 in Albuquerque, will break it all down for you and let you know how this man and why this man was targeting all of these, as they call them, Mexican-themed restaurants in and around the Albuquerque area.
Vandalism spree earlier this morning is behind bars tonight. He left a trail of destruction around town and strange notes at nearly a dozen restaurants. News 13's Jeannie Nguyen is here with the details. Jeannie.
Madeline, several businesses owners found security footage similar to this when they arrived to work this morning. Police say all the restaurants targeted were Mexican-themed.
I saw this big old bash on the window.
Dan Garcia, vice president of Garcia's Kitchen, says not just one, but two of his restaurants were vandalized overnight, including this one at 4th and Mountain.
Don't people have something better to do? I mean, why are they busting our windows? I mean, you know, they're not even trying to get in here to steal something. They're just vandalizing.
Albuquerque police say the man behind the Garcia's vandalism and nine others is Ed Delidio Wallace. He was captured on security cameras at multiple restaurants, smashing the windows and doors of the businesses.
He took it upon himself to vandalize at least 11 Mexican-themed restaurants in town, and he targeted those specifically.
Police say he also left a note in each business after breaking through the glass. In the notes, Wallace expressed hatred towards the Hispanic community and addressed each as, quote, the Mexican mafia. He also rambles about feeling threatened by them. Garcia says he's stumped by the strange accusations.
Which we are not the Mexican mafia, believe me. We're just hardworking people that are trying to sell beans and chili.
Despite
That's the best line of the whole thing. We're not the Mexican mafia. We're just hardworking people trying to sell beans and chili. They'll get to it.
In the notes and choosing to damage these 11 Mexican-themed restaurants, police say what Wallace did was not a hate crime.
The problem is he keeps going off of his medication, and he starts committing violence, and that's the worrisome part for us.
Garcia just hopes that Wallace can be connected with the resources he needs.
Get some help. I mean, really, get some help. I mean, find out, because we're not Mexican mafia, and I don't know who's after you and what all this is about. But you really should talk to a counselor and see if you can get some help.
You really should stay on your meds, too.
You're in Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in St. Louis. You're not in Arkansas. You're not in Kansas. You're in Albuquerque. You're in a state that is named New Mexico.
I'm not sure what sort of name Edilidio is. I'm like, what? I don't know, but it's not a hate crime. He's just a crazy guy off his meds.
You're in New Mexico.
He may not realize that if he's off his meds. So we'll see what's going on. All right. When I saw this next thing, I could not yell, "No!" loudly and longly enough at my computer.
Kim K, there's a story that she's going to women's prison, talking to female prisoners.
It's political.
I mean, do you think she's going to be the next powerhouse in, like, women's?
Okay. They're talking to the Game outside of a nightclub. The Game looks blazed as all fuck.
Oh, yeah.
But what he says next causes me great dread.
Yeah.
At the possibility that he could be right.
Prison reform.
I say to Kim K running for president.
You think so?
Kim K for president. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Hillary ain't make it. She ain't know, you know what I'm saying? She ain't know how to get the 18-year-olds to wear her sister lip gloss.
I see.
Kim figured that out. You know how many 18-year-old, like fresh 18-year-old Caucasian women there are in America? You know how many of them have Kylie's lip gloss? You know how many of them will go vote if Kylie tweets vote for my sister?
Yeah, you're right.
Then we ain't talking about shit. Kim K for president.
You have a good night, man. Have a good one, Gabe.
No!
The scary part is that they're stupid enough to do that.
What, the American people?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, we've clearly proven that.
Yes.
We've clearly proven that.
You know, I had a thought over the weekend. White people don't think that other white people are as racist as they are.
No.
And so part of the problem is, it's like it's like being black and you have a cousin or a friend who gets in trouble all the time. And you're like, oh, he's not that bad. You know, your parents be like, look, you need to stay away from that motherfucker. And you're like, oh, no, dad, he's not that bad. He's just a little rough around the edges. He's not. And then the next thing you know, you're in a car in a liquor store robbery. Yep. That's where you guys are. Instead of a liquor store robbery, we got Donald Trump. And now we're serving a life sentence. A life sentence.
Okay. I think at this point we need a little hope. And since Obama is not coming back, someone has to come back and give us a little bit of hope. And our hopes are now on Sacha Baron Cohen. So imagine if Sacha Baron Cohen had been secretly filming a TV show for the past year. Well, imagine no longer, my friend.
Dick Finney, is it possible to sign my waterboard?
Sure.
He asked Dick Cheney to sign his waterboard kit.
Hilarious.
And Dick Cheney is on camera signing a gallon bottle of water. It's coming soon. Here's what Dick Cheney said.
That's a first. That's the first time I've ever signed a waterboard.
July 15th, Showtime.
Wow. Speaking of that, Sicario 2 was good.
Was it? Yes. Excellent. I'm looking forward to that.
Ending was a little rough, but the rest of it was...
I would imagine the whole thing was rough.
Yeah.
A little rough to watch. All right. So there's your hope. We brought you down. We brought you back up. Now let's talk about breakfast food. Kareem, it's time for you to play along with this. I'll even throw it up on the big screen so you can see how the results are going. I ask you about a breakfast food. You tell me if it's overrated, underrated, or appropriately rated. We'll start with waffles. Waffles. Overrated, underrated, or appropriately rated?
Overrated.
All right, so let's click over here. Eggs Benedict.
Definitely overrated.
Okay. Cereal.
Underrated.
Okay. Bacon.
Underrated.
Okay. Hash browns.
Overrated.
Oh. Pancakes.
Overrated.
Oh. Omelets?
Underrated.
Yogurt parfait?
Underrated.
Oh. French toast?
It depends on whose it is, but I'm going to say overrated.
Oh, French. That's almost fighting words. French toast is a delight. All right, Kareem, are you locking in your answers?
Yes.
All right, you're done. Kareem, you are passionate. You give your all to everything that you do, whether you're making a plan with family or friends, applying yourself to something career-oriented, or just doing something for yourself. You give 110% every time. You won't stop until things are perfect, and while that may be an obstacle for you at times, you know deep down that you'll hit your goal at the end.
Okay.
It's pretty accurate, right?
Yeah.
And that's what breakfast foods have taught us about Kareem.
That's funny.
Right? Good news for Jamie Foxx and his penis. He's not facing any charges for allegedly striking a woman in the face with it back in 2002, and the case has been closed, according to what TMZ has learned. LVPD says that Foxx is in the clear, at least criminally, because the statute of limitations of 3 years has long since run. So if someone slaps you in the face with a penis, you have 3 years in Nevada to complain.
3 years, huh?
Yep. The case was previously listed. By the way, if anybody slaps me in the face with their penis, I ain't waiting 3 years.
I'm not waiting 3 minutes.
Right? Punch you right in the nuts. Yeah, he has emphatically denied the allegations and called them an absurd lie, while also threatening legal action of his own. So we'll see how that goes. All right. So let's talk about catching a plane. You know what? It's, I think I put this in here, so let me...
Florida. Land of enchantment. And crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Sort of. Only because the plane left from Florida. Headline, crazed man jumps Atlanta airport fence, climbs atop wing of a packed Delta jet. Let me get the photo up there for you, Kareem. This guy... This fucking guy. He's one of yours.
Yes, I saw that guy.
He's walking. He's only wearing boxer shorts. He scaled the barbed wire fence. He's 19 years old. He then ran across the tarmac at Atlanta's airport, pulled himself onto the wing of a Delta jet, and began pounding on the aircraft's windows. Would you shit yourself?
Yeah.
His name's Jiren Jones. He's 19. He was arrested... minutes after running up to the airplane, which had just arrived from Miami. He had stripped to his underwear, gestured to passengers while ranting incoherently. At one point, he mounted one of the jet's wings and began pacing and banging on cabin windows as the travelers photographed his antics. He was subsequently subdued by airport police and charged with trespassing, damage to property, and obstruction of law enforcement. Also hit with a public indecency count for allegedly exposing himself to the plane's stunned passengers.
Okay. The fact that you took him to jail instead of a mental institution straight away says everything I need to know.
About Georgia?
Yeah.
That guy clearly ain't right.
Yeah.
He's absolutely not right in the head. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I mean, climbing across a barbed wire fence is shit by itself in clothes, but yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. But yeah, the pictures are amazing.
Yeah.
Jet plane's wing, that's up. Yeah. Dude's got hops.
Yeah.
Kings might want to look at him.
Yeah.
He got hops. All right, it's time for what I like to call local mayor, what do I call that? Local mayor roundup, yes. Local mayor roundup. We'll start in Rhode Island.
What did...
Support for NPR comes from Dutton.
Right after NPR... Which doesn't have advertising, thanks its sponsors.
Of course.
A book that you'll never read. Thank you, book you'll never read.
Good morning, I'm Steve Inskeep with the Perils of Public Art. In North Providence, Rhode Island, the mayor called a building a health hazard. The owner responded by having a mural painted on that building showing the mayor wearing a crown sitting on his throne, a toilet. In Moscow, an ad agency had a mural painted to welcome fans of the World Cup. It's a 12-story tall image of a woman holding a soccer ball, and the 12-story woman is the ad agency director's wife. It's Morning Edition.
So the mayor calls the building a health hazard, and he gets a big mural of the mayor sitting on the toilet with a throw, with a crown.
That's funny.
I'm going to bet the owner of the building, Italian. Meanwhile, in Michigan, Jim Fouts, I don't know if he's related to Dan or not, posted a message to Facebook. He's got health issues that he wants his residents to be aware of.
What?
Support for NPR comes from Dutton, publisher of The Last Time I Lied, about the search for three girls who vanished 15 years ago, from Riley Sager, the best-selling author of the thriller Final Girls.
Good morning, I'm David Green. The mayor of Warren, Michigan, Jim Fouts, has a favor to ask. If you see him jogging, don't bother him. Apparently a woman barged into Mayor Fouts' office and was furious he hadn't stopped to talk to her, so he took to Facebook and explained that to keep his heart healthy, he has this cardio routine, one that ideally means not stopping on every block. He said he really is available to people 24/7, although I guess in reality it's like 23/7. It's morning edition.
Fair point. Leave me alone while I'm trying to run.
Wow.
You gotta do it. You gotta do it. All right.
It's Nate.
Oh, hi. It's me. All right, let's go to Arizona for a moment. And I saw the headline, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of amusing. And then I read a little more, and I'm like, that's not amusing at all. So there's a 23-year-old man who played strip Uno with a pair of underage girls.
Oops.
By the way, if your girls aren't old enough to know what poker is, don't dumb down the game and add strip to the front of it.
Yeah.
That's a good rule of thumb. His name is Kickin' Rodriguez. He's 23, locked up on $100,000 bond following a bust last week by Phoenix police. He's scheduled for a status conference in Superior Court. Uh-oh, he's one of them that Trump warned us about.
$100,000.
Well, according to a probable cause statement, he confessed to having repeated consensual sexual contact with a 14-year-old girl. By the way, that's impossible. And then playing strip Uno with the teenage victim and a 12-year-old child. He reportedly told cops the 14-year-old girl removed all of her clothing during the game, adding the other minor won the game and did not remove any of her clothing. Oh, that makes it better.
He needs his ass whooped.
Yeah, I'm sure he's getting it. While he denied inappropriately touching the younger girl, the minor told police that he had touched her on her breast and buttocks over her bathing suit while they were swimming in the pool of the Phoenix apartment complex. Cops say he's also admitted to exchanging nude photos with the 14-year-old girl.
Oh, here's a dumbass.
He is that guy. So status hearing. I don't know if that is a mental status hearing or a residency status hearing. Wait for that guy to show up at every Trump rally.
Yeah.
One douchebag. Meanwhile, in Wisconsin, a woman had a literal grab bag of illegal narcotics, including cocaine, meth, marijuana, ecstasy, and synthetic pot hidden inside her body.
Oh, damn.
When police arrested her following a recent traffic stop, acting on a tip, just the tip, police pulled over a 97 Monte Carlo being driven by Desiree Webster, who's 20. She was accompanied in the vehicle by Jerrell McCollum, a 39-year-old convicted drug dealer. Investigators have been told that McCollum would travel with females and have them conceal the contraband inside their body. The Monte Carlo was stopped about 150 miles north of Milwaukee. And when a patrolman told Webster that police thought drugs were in her private parts, she claimed not to have, quote, any drugs in her. Webster turned over to the cops a small bag of pot that was in her bra, was arrested and transported to county lockup. After she refused to cooperate with a strip search, she was taken to a local healthcare facility where a CT scan, that's where your money's going, revealed a baggy-type mass in her pelvic area.
Oh, God.
She eventually removed what cops described as a, quote, plastic baggie about the size of a fist from her vagina.
Ooh. Ew.
The baggie contained three other baggies that held cocaine, meth, ecstasy, marijuana, and synthetic cannabinoids. A white powder weighing 1.252 grams was also found, but police couldn't get a positive field test on it. A criminal complaint notes that the drug dog Recon alerted to the presence of narcotics inside the Monte Carlo. The canine repeatedly showed an extreme level of interest in the driver's seat.
Wow.
She's facing 6 felony drug counts, also hit with multiple felony bail jumping raps since she was busted while free on bond in an earlier felony case, which is pending. The drug dealer was charged with multiple narcotics counts. They're scheduled for a July 9th court appearance, so they just had it.
Who snitched?
Somebody who wanted a deal would be my guess. All right. So when the end of days come, Kareem, do you want a new car?
Not for the end of days.
Well, I mean, who doesn't? And Jim Baker, our old friend Jim Baker, has a way that you can have a new car when the end times come. Again, I don't know what you
would
do with it.
God has spoken to us to prepare for what's coming. I believe Donald Trump was given by God to give us a respite and give us a time of prosperity.
A respite? And a time of prosperity?
Where do these people come from?
I just went through my fucking IRA to prove to you that it's not happening.
No.
Anyway.
But do you think the evil Antichrist spirit is sitting back?
No.
They're fighting tooth and toenail. Uh-huh. They're fighting the president.
Yes.
They want to kill him.
Yes.
And believe me, if they get one open shot, someone will kill our president.
Matter of fact, in the news yesterday, they had to go and find somebody in Pennsylvania that has made threats to the president of the United States to kill him.
Yes.
How many people threatened Obama?
Every other white person.
I mean, come on.
This is real. And when you talk about the prophets being here on this stage, this is the number one thing that keeps saying, Jim, Lori, audience, we are living in the most prophetic time in history than any other time. If that's the case, we're getting the storehouse ready one bucket at a time.
Now we're to the buckets.
Well, if everything that's happened is already, if we're just repeating history, then we're already in the most prophetic times several times.
I don't know how the end times are going to be held off by a bucket.
Yeah.
Let's find out.
And all you preppers that don't have coffee, this is your moment to start getting your coffee ready. Start stocking up on coffee. Bartering is going to be the number one thing.
What do you think that would be worth if the sun don't shine? What would it be worth with the power goes out and there's no trucks running and the EMP bomb or whatever they're talking about for these last day events? This 2-gallon bucket, a packs of coffee, you could trade them for whatsoever you want.
That's it.
You could probably get a new car for one packet of coffee.
I don't like coffee that much.
Okay, it's the end times. I have a car. How do I gas that motherfucker up?
Coffee? Think I'll convert your motor to coffee?
Appealing to the hoarders, so that you'll get that. I love how
male butt sex.
Oh, sorry. we'll get Tim in a second. Coach Dave is back. Coach Dave is back. I love it when you're taking a time to go ahead and go, you know who I need to appeal to? The preppers. Because they don't have coffee.
Coffee. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you have coffee. You're going to be able to barter for anything. One packet of coffee will get you a new car.
Like coffee going to be cigarettes, like cigarettes in prison?
I want to bring that clip and a packet of coffee to any car dealership and see how long I can keep a salesman busy.
Yeah, let's try it.
I would like a new car for this packet of coffee.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Kareem, we're going to start Florida Corner with evidence of white privilege. How, you ask? Because there's no white privilege. Headline, man tells cop he really enjoyed resisting arrest because it was like being on a TV show.
Alrighty then.
Now, you know that's not a black guy.
No.
I really enjoyed resisting arrest. A Florida man who tussled with cop trying to arrest him for disorderly conduct later said that he really enjoyed resisting because it was like being on Live PD, a cable program that chronicles mayhem police officers encounter on the night shift. A patrolman was dispatched to a home in Sebastian near Vero Beach after a 911 caller reported a man wielding a golf club chasing a woman. When the officer arrived, he encountered Rudolph Grant, who's 53, smelled of booze and screaming and cursing in front of the residence. After trying to walk away, Grant struggled as the cop sought to handcuff him. Now, according to the arrest affidavit, the cop noted that he tried to pull away from him, tensed his arms in an attempt to get away, and finally made his body go limp. Due to his erratic behavior, Grant was subsequently placed in a mechanical restraints that were double locked. Now, before being placed in the squad car, he told the arresting officer that he really enjoyed resisting. It was like being on Live PD.
Oh, wow.
Which, if you're not aware, is an A&E show, like Cops, that bills itself as a documentary series covering DUI checkpoint stops to high-speed chases, bar fights to gang shootings, and domestic disputes to drug busts. He's been charged with resisting arrest and disorderly conduct, both misdemeanors, released from the Indian River County Jail after posting $1,000 in bond, scheduled for a July 31st court hearing. His rap sheet includes a felony cocaine possession conviction.
He just wanted somebody to touch him.
White privilege. Now, this next story. I saw this next story, and I literally laughed out loud when I saw the headline. Like, out loud, showed my teeth, tilted my head back.
Oh, yeah.
Headline, fake Sultan was scamming a Miami billionaire. Then he ate pork. See, a Colombia-born man posing as a wealthy Saudi prince traveled the globe swindling millions from investors that were somehow dazzled by his whole thing. Now, when Anthony Gignac set his sights on Miami, he targeted super-rich real estate developer Jeffrey Soffer. At first, Soffer fell for the con man's pitch to buy an interest in one of his hotels, even lavishing $50,000 in luxury gifts on the Sultan. Now,
wow.
Using the alias Sultan bin Khalid Al Saud, he pretended he wanted to invest hundreds of millions of dollars in the landmark Fontainebleau Resort Hotel on Miami Beach, which had been renovated and expanded at a whopping $1 billion cost. Now, believing that he was royalty and a Saudi Arabian diplomat with the means to purchase the hotel, the developer expressed interest in the deal, and according to the complaint, it did not mention Soffer by name. But over the course of the negotiations last summer, including a business meeting in Aspen, the billionaire developer wised up, had his security team check him out, and reported the suspicions that he might be an imposter to the feds. See, the 47-year-old locked up in a Miami detention center since November, now awaiting sentencing after pleading guilty to him, blah, 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 blah. he caught him eating a bunch of bacon.
Was it Ramadan?
Can you eat bacon on Ramadan?
No.
You can't eat pork. Do your homework, con man. Although America fell for a con man and elected him, so... When will Donald Trump eat the bacon and wisen up all the idiots?
I don't know.
I need to know when that's going to happen. It's got to happen. Maybe November. November is what I'm hoping. All right. So, hold on. It's time to turn that music down. We don't need that. Because it's time again for Coach Dave.
Oh, God.
Coach Dave, still in the closet. We still expect him to come out.
Put the boogie in your butt.
At some time. He is obsessed with gay men. And not like he watches Queer Eye in binge mode. He is obsessed with gay men in a way that says, dude, you might be gay. Why are you fighting it? We've heard from him before. Jason, he's one of Jason's favorites. This time he's got a plan. And he's sticking to it no matter what.
Male butt sex is not convenient. It's fruitless.
It's not convenient. It's fruitless.
Coach Dave, any butt sex is not convenient.
Not if you want to do it pain-free.
Even pornography butt sex is not convenient. There's a lot of preparation that goes on.
By the way, a lot of sex isn't convenient. I mean, that's just the way it is. He's got a lot of theories here.
Now, I've made this commitment. Oh. I don't know how long I'm going to stay up and running because I'm doubling down. And I'll just tell you, some of you softy old Christians out there, holier than thou.
All you softy, holier than thou Christians.
He's doubling down on butt sex.
He's doubling down on butt sex.
Christians, let me tell you something. We have got to re-stigmatize homosexuality.
Hey, Chris.
Hang on, Vince. We have got to take the behavior and make the behavior front and center. Loving the issue. I love a lot of people that I don't have sex with.
Okay. I don't know that that's really comparable, but okay. He loves a lot of people that he doesn't have sex with. So do gay people.
Yes.
I have a lot of people I don't have sex with. The homosexual men insert their penis in the rectum of another man. Think about that. Think about that.
I don't want to think about that.
He's been spending way too much time thinking about that. Look, if it bugs you, don't think about it.
I don't want to think about that, Dave. I'm sorry.
Right? You've been in faces.
Yeah, I have.
Were you thinking about that?
No.
Exactly.
That is what they do. When you walk into Wendy's and you go to the bathroom before you get your hamburger.
Oh, get ready for this.
I don't know if
get ready for this. I'm like, where's Coach Dave going with this? Are they having butt sex at the Wendy's?
There's a sign that says all employees must wash their hands before returning to work. Why is that?
Because they're handling food.
It has nothing to do with butt sex, Dave.
Because they're handling food. And by the way, wash your hands before you leave because you may think you have a clean penis, but I don't want to grab your penis to open the door.
Because it is dirty down there. Right?
It's dirty in your mouth, Dave.
Right? So it's not Timmy and Billy with a garden. That's not what it's about. It's about a diabolical, demonic activity that is eating our young children. And I'm going to be on the forefront of re-stigmatizing what it is that they do. And if you don't like it, go watch something else.
Okay. He's way too worried about this. And my theory is his goal is to stigmatize it so much that the thoughts of gay butt sex leave his head.
Yeah.
He's trying to drive. He's like Tom Cruise trying to run away from the gay thoughts in all his movies.
He is.
Family Guy joke.
Oh my God. He is reemphasizing it.
By the way, he does hour-long stuff on YouTube. I can't even imagine sitting and listening to it. Thank God, rightwingwatch.org pulls out the clips. But this is, I mean, to start right here.
Male butt sex is not convenient.
That sounds more like a complaint.
Yeah.
Like if it were more convenient.
I'd do it.
That's what's keeping him from doing it, is the convenience factor.
Like, damn it, it's not convenient. I got to tell the world.
Again.
Male butt sex is not convenient.
All right. That may be the title of the show. Let me write that down before I forget. Male butt sex is not convenient.
He said it like it's a sermon.
He did. I mean, he's really into it. I mean, one more time, just to make sure that you understand.
Male butt sex is not convenient.
It's like he's disappointed.
I just want everybody in the congregation to understand that male butt sex is not convenient.
And remember the second thing he says.
It's fruitless.
Well, not if you drop your load.
It is fruitless.
Now, I've made this commitment. I don't know how long I'm going to stay up and running because I'm doubling down. And I'll just tell you, some of you softy old Christians out there, male butt sex is not convenient.
And I'm going to let you limp dick Christians know this that male butt sex
not convenient
is not convenient.
I wonder if Mrs. Coach Dave ever takes it up the poop chute.
I bet you he has an issue with it. Like he might be like, what's his name in American Me?
Do you think possibly he was toilet trained too young?
Could be.
He's clearly got issues with the butt.
I think he's like a Edward James almost in American Me, where that's the only way he can finish.
Oh, Coach Dave. Look, I understand he's an asshole, and I understand that he's abhorrent, but I'm going to make fun of that motherfucker as long as he keeps putting out nonsense like this.
Mayo.
And if you don't like it, if you don't like it, I will trade you a packet of end of days coffee for a car.
Male butt sex is not convenient.
Oh, God. You know, I almost want to watch one of his hour long things just to see how much real nonsense is in there and how long it goes on for. But then I think, you know, I only get one life. Is that how I want to spend it?
And I need the congregation to hear me. I said, male, come on now. I said male butt sex,
okay,
is not.
Not?
Convenient.
That's amazing.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All right. It's time to head out to Grand Forks, North Dakota, for the Eat Beat. That's right. Headline on the Eat Beat, pulled pork tender and tasty at the snow sled.
Ooh.
First of all, you have to find Gentilly. It's that little village in the high tower of St. Peter's Catholic Church that can be seen for miles. It's reached by taking County Road 11 just north of Crookston. In the winter, snowmobilers find it by taking the back roads. Oh, hold on. I have to answer some questions to get the rest of this. Have you purchased cat litter in the last 6 months? Yes, no, or unsure. How are you unsure if you've bought cat litter in the last 6 months? Do you have a cat? Oh, which of the following statements do you most agree with? Reading labels is important for me and my cat? Yes. Me and my cat read a lot of labels. Which cat litter brands have you recently purchased? We buy Arm & Hammer, the light stuff, unscented. Next. Size cat litter, it's 17 pounds. What sources are most influential when purchasing cat litter? Google search, YouTube videos? No. Amazon ratings and reviews, Instagram posts, Facebook posts, or pet blogs? I'm going to go none of the above. What factors are most important when choosing where to buy your cat litter?
Cocaine, trafficking websites.
None of the above. I just buy it at Target. I just buy it at Target. Oh, yeah. I've been thinking back. Where do you buy them? At Target. Because that's where they have it.
I was confusing coffee with cat.
Coffee would make expensive cat litter. But the cat shit smells rich and... If you recently bought cat litter at Amazon.com, which you can do, by the way, former co-host Ted used to do that because he didn't like carrying it home. So he had it delivered to his house.
That is smart.
If you recently bought it on Amazon, I'm going to go easy to ship. Got it. Online, physical store, what size you're likely to buy? Same size. There's a lot of questions. When buying cat litter online, how often do you read ratings and reviews? Oh, always. Always. All right, there we go. Sweet baby Jesus. You know, that was a lot to go through for a Marilyn Chambers food review.
Yes, it was.
Although at least I didn't get, oh, we're behind a paywall now. We're behind a paywall. So, 99 cents a month for the first month. Whew, okay. Let's get back to it. Once you find Gentilly, you cannot give up. It's worth wending your way to the eastern edge of town. The burgers are better and the pork is leaner and tender at the Snow Sled Inn Bar and Grill. In the winter, it's a gathering place for snowmobilers. The pulled pork sandwich I ordered on a sunny day in June was a highlight so far of the summer eating scene. It was a summer eating scene.
The hell is this?
Oh, the music?
Yeah.
This is Kevin Gates and Juicy J, Thinking With My Dick. There you go. The pork was so tender and tasty. It was topped with a gentle barbecue sauce and an onion ring. And the bun seemed better by far than average. Each sandwich is served with a crinkle cut fries. At this small place, they smoke the pork themselves. They toast the buns. The onion rings are homemade, not frozen. The Snow Sled Inn is run by Dion and Brandon Magra. She is the chef and her aunt Tori Osgard is the server. They, Magris, took over the Snow Sled, that's a weird phrase, in April of 2015. It had been established primarily as a snowmobile shop back in 1969 by the late Fritz Normandin. So you get a little history lesson this time. Dion says she likes to cook and her husband Brandon likes to eat. He also likes to work. He is a creative in fencing and furnishings inside and out of the snow sled. I'm guessing putting up fences, not, you know, fighting with a sword. There are 10 comfortable seats in the with backs at the bar counter. There are booths along the side and long, narrow tables in the center. And there is a magnificent handmade table on the second level. Oh. There's also an old-fashioned popcorn maker. The couple lives in a rural home north of their business, and they have 5 children.
Oh, damn.
Mm-hmm.
That means they didn't have nothing to do during the winter.
Well, all of their sex bore fruit. Unlike that male butt sex. They have created a center where area people and truckers congregate in the summertime, just as snowmobilers gather in the winter. They bring customers in with such homey specials as a tater tot hot dish. Their burgers are hand patted and lean. The pork has no fat, no gristle, and is so tender.
Does the pork have a dick?
The Snow Sled answers calls for catering. The couple are looking forward to Gentilly Township Days on July 21st. They help sponsor the event to benefit local causes, and they show up at area events such as the fair in Fertile, Minnesota. My visit there was with Susie Shaft and Sue Hoos. They found the trip to the snow sled in June a highlight, a place where they would go back to often.
Susie Shaft.
Susie, shut your mouth. You're talking about Susie Shaft. Shut your mouth. You're talking about Susie Shaft. All right. Here we go. On a typical summer day, regulars like Danny Page sit at one of the tables. He laughs and jokes, and Dion Magra says he's just like one of the family. If she has her way, nobody leaves the Snow Shed Inn without tasting a specialty. Apple Busters!
Apple Busters?
Yep, it's made of apples wrapped in a flour tortilla and then deep fried.
And it's apple turnover?
And it's then served with a caramel sauce and whipping cream. With a flour tortilla? Turnover would be more pie crust, I would think. So that would be their take on it.
Yeah.
It's the Snow Sled Inn, I can talk, in Gentilly, Minnesota. If you want to call them, it's 218-281-5028. They serve food from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Your average check is going to be $12. And the seating, 45 people. The report card, better than average everyday food at moderate prices. Average dinner check's $12. The service is good and friendly. Ambiance is unique with clever table creations. And in case you're wondering, the restroom is small but clean and adequate.
Okay.
Does that mean I can take a shit?
Yeah.
Probably too small for Sell and Blow. Would be my guess. All right. Well, we've learned a lot today.
Yes, we have.
I think my takeaway is Kareem is motivated, and breakfast food tells us that.
Yes.
I also learned that you have 3 years to file a complaint about being slapped with a penis.
Yes.
And amongst other things, that Sacha Baron Cohen has a new show coming out on Showtime next week. I believe Sunday.
Oh, yeah, it is.
So get ready for that. Hopefully next week Jason will be back with us, although I'm not positive. Not positive. We'll see. I can't make promises. It's too far away. Either way, we'll try and be back with more shows, barring illness, injury, or end of days. I have to go get some coffee. Remember that. And, of course, male butt sex is not convenient.
I said, for the congregation, male butt sex is not convenient.
If you missed out, the first 3 shows ever of the Nate Darling Show were up last week. So if you subscribe to the show, those would have showed up in your feed. Go back and check them out. It's interesting how far we've come. So have a great weekend. Be safe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Now, what you gonna do with it?
Not convenient.